Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Time now, 4:07 PM. It is time on a Thursday afternoon for that thing that I enjoy doing every single week. On Thursdays, we have the Grand Council. That would be FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile's Jeff Poor and our own Dale Jackson from right here, program director slash morning show guy. So let me just call the roll real quick. Do I have a Dale Jackson?
Sergeant Jackson reporting for duty, Colonel.
stand at parade rest. I'll get over to you in a minute. All right. Do I have a Jeff Poor from down in the nether regions of our state?
I am present.
You are indeed present. And okay, thank you. I go from yelling on one side to the subdued on the other. But all right, I stand right in the middle. Still excited to be with you. All right, so here's the deal, fellas. You know the deal. I'm calling quorum. Hit the sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, the horn's blown. The rules are, as always, we each take turns, ask each other questions. We see how we do. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. We still love each other when it's over. That's a mandatory thing, by the way, on my show. Jeff Poore, you're first.
I'll kick it off here, guys, and this is more in y'all's neck of the woods, but I want to know about this Oakwood Academy First Amendment lawsuit against the Alabama High School Athletic Association. If you're following this story, and I think it's one that would resonate statewide, because my listeners are interested. But what do you think of the merits of this? And is a federal lawsuit the way to go?
Yeah, I'll jump on that first, being Lawyer Phil. I'll just say, yes, I think it has merit. And yes, I think the AHSAA just hosed themselves. It has statewide merit, obviously. I mean, even the governor got involved. She called them to her office and wanted to talk to him about it. So I think what you're going to wind up seeing, at the very least, they're going to make hay. Now, I don't know if the case will survive motion to dismiss. You know, they have dispositive motions usually up front. AHSAA is going to hire their lawyer and they're going to file the motion to dismiss. And sometimes the fact that you have a grievance does not mean you have a true cause of action. But I'm going to say they're probably going to survive the dismissal stage and take this thing for a little bit further. And I hope they do. And I hope the High School Athletic Association, you know, winds up having to buy them a new basketball gym. That's my thoughts. I might chime in more, but Dale, you go.
I think it's interesting the way they did this and how they're getting handled here. This is a completely self-inflicted wound, yet they seem to just be completely oblivious to the fact that people hate them. And it seems like an incredibly silly way for them to be doing business. And hopefully they come to some sort of realization that was really stupid for how they played that, and they stop doing that stupid thing. That would be the best thing for everybody. But I think that they're going to find themselves in yet another fight. They're just going to make the legislature mad, and they're making a huge mistake here, I think, in the way they're handling this.
I think you're right. And just to real quick before you finish up your own question, Jeff, to back up the audience, so those may not know, Oakwood Academy, a Seventh-day Adventist school, was playing for the first time in the state tournament. They're a little bitty school. I mean, getting there was like a story out of a movie. And they get there, and then lo and behold, this Saturday is their Sabbath day. And they just asked, could they play the game that evening? Because, you know, after dark, apparently their Sabbath is it's okay to do that. And no, they were denied the opportunity to rearrange the schedule on a Saturday, even though every team agreed. And so they had to drop out of the tournament simply because of their religious beliefs. Jeff, your own question. You want to wrap it up?
No, and I think both of you are absolutely right here. This is a self-inflicted wound. One thing I would disagree with, I don't think they're oblivious at all. I think they know exactly what people think. They just don't care. It's a tone deafness, and that is something they are going to have to do better with. You can't run your organization like you are a high school football coach running your locker room. It's just, this is not how the world works.
True. And to Dale's point, I think the legislature may very well get involved because they're a creature. The High School Athletic Association is a creature of statute, if I'm not mistaken. Therefore, they can be undone by statutory authority by the legislature. So that's going to be fun. All right, Dale, go next.
Terry Collins, state representative.
That's my question.
Oh, here it is. I don't know if you remember this, Senator Williams, the API guy, but at an API forum back in 2019, while this debate over the abortion bill was going on, you and I were at an event in Huntsville, and I think Jeff Poore was there too. And I was on stage with Terry Collins. I believe you were asking questions, and she said if they do an exemption an exception, excuse me, to rape and incest, I will kill the bill in the House. Now, one day after this whole thing went down in D.C., she's saying, oh, no, we'll come back and we'll put exceptions to rape and incest in the bill. I talked to Sam Gavan. He's like, yeah, that's going to have a hard time getting through the legislature, I'll be honest with you. What is she doing?
I have no idea what she's doing, but it was a story by AL.com, so I take that, first of all, with a grain of salt. How did they style the questions? I don't know. But that being said, and I haven't talked to Terry yet, but I saw that story this afternoon, and she said, yeah, she would consider, you know, creating exceptions. One of the weird exceptions would be for if the fetus had abnormalities. Well, that could be anything. It could be Down syndrome. I mean, what are you thinking? But nonetheless, there's no way in the world they're going to bring their reputation of having one of the strongest pro-life legislation or acts in the nation and then begin to weaken it as Republicans. But then again, I've seen them do some stupid stuff in recent years, but I cannot see them going, sure, I agree with that. Let's make it lighter. I don't see it happening. Jeff?
Guys, if you remember the event, she explained this very clearly, that you could not put the exceptions in the bill because a life is still a life no matter what exceptions, you know, in the case of rape or incest. Is that saying that that is not a life form inside of a womb when it's created out of rape? The law was nothing but the test case to go to the court. And I know they came back and said that they would revisit this, you know, if it made it that far and Roe v. Wade got overturned. And I think she is absolutely doing the right thing here, saying that they would take another look at this. And I think it would get through the legislature. I mean, and who am I to second guess Sam Gavan? But I think it absolutely would. This won't be the same law that passed in 2019.
Well, so wait, back up what you're saying. So are you saying that they will revisit it and pass a new law as opposed to letting the current law that exists and just simply been enjoined by the courts? You don't think they'll let that would take effect?
No, I do not think that at all. I think they had to do it that way at the time because that's the way you win in federal court. They have already won in federal court, presumably, assuming this decision stands. But I don't think that they're not going to allow for exceptions of rape and incest. I think there will. I don't know what the exceptions will be, but there will be some set of exceptions.
Well, see, the thing right now, though, is the current law is still the law. It's just simply enjoined by Judge Myron Thompson at the local level. And so all that has to happen is once Roe is overturned, the AG just has to file a motion and say, we see no further reason for this injunction. It was enjoined on the basis of Roe. Therefore, the law takes effect tomorrow, Judge, if you agree.
However, I just add this. I've talked to the majority leader in the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, about this. They are ready to move on this once that happens. They are ready to get to it may require a special session or something, but they are prepared to move and pass some kind of legislation. So the law you have on the books now won't be the law, I don't believe, will be the law that we ultimately have in Alabama.
Well, then we don't have a Republican majority. I mean, if that's the case, if we have Nathaniel Ledbetter who thinks he can go ahead and be the Speaker of the House and he's going to call a special session to make a pro-life bill weaker, then by God, I'm going to fry him from the radio.
Well, he's not going to call he can't call the special session. It'll be done by the governor. But I don't think that the law that we have now is enforceable. I think there's got to be for a test case for the AG to try before the Supreme Court. I don't know why, but there will be what the exceptions will be, but there will be something passed
There's
that
no
will be different
it.
Than that 2019
no
law.
What you're trying what? If Roe is overturned, then it's devolved to the states under a system of federalism, and the law has already been passed, and it was based on the fact that it's called a trigger law. We're waiting for Roe to be overturned. It will trigger the effect of this law. What is there to go back and have to redo?
Well, that was always the case. The only reason they did not put an exception in the law, Senator, was because they did not want to weaken their case before the federal court. And they said they would, I could go back and find you this, but they said they would come back and revisit it should Roe v. Wade be overturned.
So what do you make of Gavan saying no?
I don't know what to make of that. I thought this had already been already decided and laid out.
Eric Johnson wrote the bill. He's a brilliant lawyer on pro-life issues, and he didn't write it so they could weaken it. I guarantee you. I'll get him on here tomorrow. We'll talk about it. But this law was not written so it could be unwritten. No way.
It remains to be seen, but that's my belief that they that and I could find you where they said they would come back and look at exceptions for
find
certain
it, send
circumstances.
It to me, but right now, I don't agree with that at all. I think that would be death knell to some Republican careers who are hoping that nobody says boo about it, so they can go on and have the reputation of being the most pro-life legislature in the state because they're already the most tax and spend in the.
Well, can we just before we, I know we're out of time here, but can we just also all acknowledge that they did this intentionally, knowing that they would strike them and then maybe they could come back and touch it again? I think that would have been easier.
Maybe
Myron Thompson will blow this whole thing up since he's really the governor of the state. He'll blow the whole thing up and say, if you want to pass another one, go ahead and go pass another one, and maybe that's when they'll get it right.
Well, if that's the case, and get it right, I think they got it right.
In the sense that they're doing it. I mean, I disagree with you on the merits of all of this, but the point is, when I say get it right, I mean do it the way you're suggesting and probably the way the people of this state would like to see it done.
Meaning which? The original version we have?
No, your version. Yes, the original version is what the people of this state want. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
I agree.
Forget about what I think or anything like that. The people of this state and this ruling from the Supreme Court is going to prove that the people should be able to do whatever they feel is right in their individual state. In this state, they want a hardcore pro-life, hardest in the nation pro-life bill. That's what they want. They don't want this watered down thing that's now being discussed. But if that judge blows it up, that may be what they end up with. I don't see them changing it based on what Sam Gavan is saying. I don't see them changing it for the reason and the reaction you're getting out of you, Phil Williams. That's why.
I agree. Copper, move us to a break because we ran long on that one. We'll come back. Jeff Poore, I still love you. All right, here we go.
It's not my fault.
It's Grand Counsel, solid
on you,
Right Side Radio.
Out of me.
Solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So we're going right back now to the Grand Council. We're going to only get through one round of this, it looks like, today, but that's okay. Good discourse. Hey, so here's my question. Which one do I want to pick now? U.S. Senate race. All right, the U.S. Senate race. I know, Jeff, you often have your sort of like your hands and all the pies and everything where the different polls are coming out. But personally, I've not seen a lot of recent polling, at least not independent polling, in recent days. Usually my theory is when polls aren't being released, it's because no one wants them out because they're internally polling on a regular basis at this point. So my question is, my sense is the race is tightening up here at the end. It is not a runaway for anybody. The fight's still between second and third, I think. Durant probably still being in the lead, but I don't think it's a runaway for anybody. What are y'all's thoughts? Jeff, you first.
I think it's a geographic play, guys. I continue to think this, and this is what I'm hearing from the other campaigns. It's all going to come down to the Birmingham market. The Birmingham DMA is where this thing is going to be won or lost, and it is tight there. The rumor is that the Duran and Brooks are kind of split in y'all's listing area, and the south part of the state tends to favor Katie Britt, but slightly. But that's enough to create kind of a final battleground in the Birmingham market. And people think of the Birmingham market as Vestavia, Mountain Brook, Hoover, but it's much more than that. It's Gadsden, Anniston, Tuscaloosa. That's a big chunk of the state, and that's probably where this thing is going to wind up being settled.
That's interesting. I mean, and you say that because down in your part of the state, if you're saying they're for Katie Britt, I would have thought that would have meant that Lagniappe poll you had the other day that showed Lou Burdette surging up to number two would have had, a more runaway race there for Kay Ivey because she's the establishment candidate for the governor's race.
I shouldn't say this, but what's it between a few friends and the airwaves here? But Katie's going to have a really strong showing in that Lagniappe, the Senate edition of Lagniappe poll that's going to come out on Sunday.
Okay. All right. Insider news. You heard it first on Right Side Radio. Dale, your thoughts?
I think it's anybody's race at this point. I think you could have any combination of these guys in there. I think it's probably going to be Durant and somebody else because Durant's falling, but I don't know. He's got a long way to fall to be out of it. And I think that we're seeing momentum going a little bit as he picks up some steam here as he's been out of the fire. He's been out of the line of fire, so I think that's helping him right now. And I think there's also a lot of people that are going to come into the conversation who haven't been in it this entire time and not really paying attention right before, and they're going to say, oh, here's that conservative Mo Brooks guy. I think that that helps him out a little bit. But, again, I think it's the same as it's been for months. Durant, Britt, Brooks, separated by like 13, 14 points.
All right, so just a quick lightning round then. I'm still predicting a runoff in that race. What about y'all, Jeff?
Yeah.
There'll be a runoff for sure.
Okay, all right. So we're going to go all the way to June before we know how that one's going to work out, but at least we're going to whittle it down. It'll be interesting, too, to see whether or not someone who is in second or third then gets knocked out for the runoff chooses to endorse one of the others. And I can imagine that there are some relationships that have been fractured by the advertising that would probably lead that to be a no, but we'll wait and see. All right, fellas, I don't even see the reason to go any further unless someone has a lightning round question that we can do in 1 minute. Anybody got one? Yes or no?
I'll go real quick. The religion in this election cycle doesn't seem to be talked about much except by maybe a candidate or two. Are you surprised?
Well, we kept having Christian conservative Katie Britt. I mean, that was her ad
right.
for forever. But that's the only one that I'm seeing. I'm not really surprised. I mean, I don't think it doesn't matter. I just don't think it's been flouted. Dale?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just not something that's being pounded this time because it's almost like, okay, they're all that. Okay, so what separates them? I think that might be the bigger story.
All right. Fellers, the music's playing. Appreciate you. Grand Council, that was good one. That was feisty. Only one round. That means we did some stuff. All right. Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN and our buddy Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 down in the nether regions of our state. The Grand Council, Thursdays at 4. Y'all stay tuned. We got plenty more on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.